WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Wednesday morning. And today we're celebrating Ozzy Osbourne. We're playing Ozzy music coming back from all the breaks. And of course, I'll take your Ozzy memories, 508-996-0500. We are also talking about the official determination that the Gabriel House fire was accidental. They narrowed it down to two potential causes, either faulty oxygen machine or improperly discarded smoking materials. And again, I can't emphasize enough, and the state fire marshal talked about this. First of all, he said no one should be smoking, but certainly don't smoke near oxygen, because that is, and he made a point of pointing this out in the press conference yesterday. That is what made this fire so much worse, was the fact that there were numerous oxygen machines and oxygen tanks around the property. And each one of those becomes a whole new combustible element. So, you know, you've just got a series of explosions that happen. And where this fire might have been able to have been contained more easily and would have led to less loss of life, instead it just starts a chain reaction. And so one of the questions that was asked in the press conference is, was smoking allowed in the rooms at the Gabriel House? And D.A. Quinn did not directly answer that question. But I'm sure that that's something that the investigation is looking into. And then what do you do? Do you make it a rule, if it wasn't already a rule, no smoking in the facility at all because of oxygen? I mean, if you look at hospitals, right, hospitals do that. They have like a designated area for smoking that's far enough away from where any of the oxygen might be. They usually have those big oxygen storage reserves outside. And so you have an area where it's a far enough away from there so that it doesn't pose a danger if somebody throws a lit cigarette on the ground. But then how do you enforce that? And when you've got people that are in their 60s, 70s, and 80s that are smokers, try to tell them that they can't smoke somewhere. They come from an era when you could smoke anywhere you wanted. They come from an era where you smoke in the doctor's office. So it's hard to tell them, oh, no, you can't smoke in the building. And many of them are non-ambulatory. They can't get up and go outside to have a cigarette. And that, you know, this very well, the person that caused the problem could have been in that situation. The person who, if it was a discarded cigarette, you know, they could have been in that very situation. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Why can't we just say it's a tragic accident? Why do we have to find someone to blame all the time?
Well, I think they have.
Why do we have to find some terrible reason that it was it happened?
Well, don't you want to know?
No. They died. It was terrible. You know, I mean, if it's smoking in the rooms, there shouldn't be smoking in the rooms where there's oxygen. Everybody knows that. Of course,
but they
don't
have to
obey it, especially if they're addicted to cigarettes.
They have to determine if that happens, so that they know if that's something that they have to crack down on.
Well, that's one thing. But what they're doing is they're picking out where the blame comes from. not the cause. There's a difference between where the blame goes and where the cause goes. And I think that's one of the things that our society is doing. There's got to be a reason for blame. No. Sometimes there isn't. Sometimes it's just a stupid mistake.
Well, yeah. Well, they've said as much. So they said that even if it was, you know, if it was a discarded smoking materials, that they, you know, they don't think it was done intentionally, that it was a mistake, that it was an accident. So I don't think they're actually blaming anybody, but they do have to determine a cause, because that's going to make a big difference, not only in some of the things that they have to determine as the investigators into the fire to get the official answer that's required, but also because now you've got lawsuits. There are people who have filed lawsuits against the owners of the facility regarding this. So this will go a long way in determining if they're at fault in any way for this.
See, that's what I mean. They're going for fault. It was
I don't know. I want to know whose fault it is.
And it is. Why? What does it do to find the fault?
Because you have to, why would you not want to know? I don't understand how you can just look at this and say, yeah, I'm fine with never knowing the answer to what happened.
I know what happened.
Well,
I know what happened.
We don't.
There was a fire and people died because probably they didn't follow simple common sense.
I mean, but if your loved one was, if you lost a loved one in that fire, wouldn't you want a more significant answer than just that?
If they died of smoke inhalation, or I wouldn't need it. I'd know what they died of.
But wouldn't you want closure to know how it happened?
I wouldn't have to look for a cause, no. I wouldn't have to look for blame, no. I wouldn't have to look for something that's going to give me litigation that I might up my amount of money. No, I wouldn't. I'm old school. I say this was a tragic accident. I will support families. But I'm not going to sit there and look for blame.
All right.
No.
Well, I think you might be the minority in that regard.
Society. Well, I'm older. I'm a lot older than most of you people. And I remember getting up and saying, you know, you weren't afraid to stand up and say, hey, I made a mistake, I did it. But now you are, because you're going to be sued for everything you've got.
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot more to it than just whether or not you're going to be sued. I think, you know, this could be criminal if there was something that happened that, you know, the ownership or the staff was involved for, this could be criminal. No.
You think someone did this on purpose?
No, they've already determined it was accidental, but still.
Then it's not criminal.
Well, it still could be negligence. Negligence can still happen even in an accident.
But it's an accident. That's just it. I don't see what good it's going to do for someone that lives in an assisted living house that probably doesn't have much of anything to be blamed for anything. He's probably dead, the one that caused it. They shouldn't have had people on second and third floors that couldn't get down the stairs, ambulatory. They shouldn't have had wheelchair victims.
That sounds like you're blaming people now.
No, I'm not blaming. I'm saying that's common sense. You don't blame them. What it is if you want to blame somebody, let's blame the state for going in there, seeing people on second and third floors that aren't ambulatory. Those are the ones you blame. They passed the inspection. They should have said, no, these people are on the wrong floor.
All right. I'm going to hold you there because I got some other callers, but thank you for the call.
Okay.
Let's see what some other folks think. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hello, am I the one?
Sounds like you, but only you know for sure.
Okay. I'm calling in regard to the statement you made about the lighthouse at Gillette Stadium.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not the tallest one. The tallest lighthouse is on top of One World Trade Center at 1,776 feet. And that actually has a functioning rotating beacon, which Gillette does not.
Are they counting the entire tower, or is that just from where the beacon itself starts?
I think that's where the beacon is. It's the tallest. That's where the beacon is.
All right. Thank you for the information.
And you can see that on, if you look up EV Grieve, EV GRIEVE.com, and it shows the information. It refers to a company in Omaha as having produced it. And that company in Omaha is Ballantyne Strong, and they produced it jointly with a company in Franklin, Massachusetts, Carpe Diem Technologies, whose owner grew up in Dartmouth and went to UMass, Dartmouth, and MIT.
Very cool. Well, thank you for the information.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
And thank you. You too.
Let's take another one here, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Hi. My comment is, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, my comment is, I used to volunteer with Elderly Services as an ombudsman. What that, I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
What I do is go into nursing homes and assisted living, mostly nursing homes, but assisted living places also could be included. What you would do is go in and speak with the residents and see whatever complaints they had or whatever. That's the, you know, just to discuss it and not to discuss it in a way to get any, but what are their concerns? So my thing is with the families there, and this isn't about blame, but as you say, lives were lost. And of course, they have to investigate it. So my point, one point I'm making is, I don't understand why families, for instance, if they should have been, if they knew they had loved ones there that were at a place where they were in danger, I would have been calling and complaining if the place was in, wasn't up to standards, whatever. I would think as a family member, you would be calling to, I mean, I'm one of these people that just calls about anything, so to speak, if not to inquire, to, you know, to make reference, mm-hmm. whatever. But that's all I have to say because I'm losing my voice.
All right. Well, thank you for the call.
All right. You have a good day, Tim,
you too.
And I enjoy your show.
Thank you so
much. Thank
you.
Bye.
And I mean, that is a fair point. If there were issues like that, and if they weren't being brought up in the inspection process, why weren't they brought up by even just visitors? Why weren't they brought up by the residents themselves? And I think this is all part of the investigation. So, you know, as I've mentioned before, the city of Fall River released 6 years worth of inspection reports for the Gabriel House facility. And in those reports, everything seemed to be on the up and up. You know, outside of, again, they had some pest control issues, but they brought in an exterminator. I mean, that's not surprising. That happens. But what complaints were being lodged against the facility? Maybe these things were brought up by other people and just fell on deaf ears. Maybe they were brought up and ownership was spoken to about it. This will all be part of the investigation further into this. Because as I said, you know, D.A. Quinn did not answer the question when asked multiple times whether or not there might be future criminal charges related to this. If you really think it was just a horrible accident, which it was, and they determined that it was accidental in how the fire happened, but if you think that it was just purely an accident and someone asks that question, then you go to the microphone and you say, no, there won't be any charges. And we get that all the time from the DA's office when it comes to things like crashes. Well, they'll say, you know, it is not anticipated that any charges will be filed. That's basically saying they've determined that no one is at fault for this. And fault and blame are actually two different things. Blame is when you're looking to pin it on somebody because you just want to have somebody to pin it on. Fault is when it's actually their fault, when they actually are part of the reason why that it happened. And I think the reason the DA didn't answer that question, and this is just speculation on my part, but they haven't determined that there wasn't any other factors that might have contributed to this. So, yes, it was surely an accident that either this machine malfunctioned or someone dropped a lit cigarette too close to an oxygen machine. You know, either one of those, just not intentional acts. But that doesn't mean that the facility itself had done everything it could to protect against something like this happening. And again, I'm just speculating. I'm not trying to say that they're at fault. I'm just saying these are the kinds of questions that are being looked at in this investigation, that have to be asked in this investigation. And I think that first caller was kind of in the minority here. People want to know exactly what happened. People want to know, was this avoidable? Not only because they want to make sure it doesn't happen again, and maybe they determine, and maybe something happens as a result of this where they say, well, we've now determined that previously we thought you could have this much space between one of these oxygen machines and someone smoking. Now we know it has to be this much space. You know, it could be something as simple as that, or it could be that it ends up overhauling entire procedures of how these facilities are run. But people want those answers, and investigators want to find those answers. Certainly insurance companies want to know those answers before they start paying out any money. So these are all important aspects of this investigation. And most importantly, is those families of those victims, of the 10 people who died as a result of this fire, they deserve those answers. 508-996-0500. You know who else does too? Is all the people that are now displaced from that fire. All the people who had their lives upended by that fire. They deserve to know as well. All right, we've got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. Stay tuned. And welcome back. And we're going to be going into the news. When we come back on the other side, we'll talk more with you. 508-996-0500. We can also take your app chat messages on the WBSM app. We got a couple of messages that came in. We will read those coming up after the news. But right now, we've got to turn things over to Mike Roberts. Take it away, Mike.
A large meth bust at LAX, a rabies outbreak in New York, and sophisticated phone scammers in Florida.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Customs and Border Protection is touting its recent interception of hundreds of pounds of methamphetamine. According to the federal agency, nearly 300 pounds of the highly addictive stimulant was found hidden in a shipment of solar panels at Los Angeles International Airport. The shipment was heading for New Zealand, and officers were flagged based on prior intel, which allowed agents to intercept the drugs before they were exported. Parts of New York State are declaring rabies a public health threat following a resurgence in rabid animal cases for the first time since 2016. Health Commissioner Dr. Irina Gelman's declaration comes after 3 feral cats and 22 raccoons tested positive for rabies in the past year.
They are indicative of widespread rabies in terrestrial animals north, south, east, and west in Nassau County. There is no cause for alarm, as we have not yet received any reports of human transmission.
Scammers are getting even more sophisticated as they target bank customers. They're not only spoofing bank phone numbers.
When they call the victim, they actually show their branch that they actually go to.
Broward Sheriff's Office Detective Pedro Cordero says they claim that they're from the fraud department of the bank, and people inside the bank branch are stealing money from accounts. They ask people to withdraw money or turn in a debit card and give it to a rideshare driver. If you get a similar call, he recommends hanging up and calling the 800 number on the back of your debit card, or even better, physically go to the bank branch and speak to someone. President Trump will deliver the keynote address at an AI summit in Washington, D.C. today. The summit is titled Winning the AI Race, and organizers say this will be Trump's first major address on the topic of artificial intelligence since the start of his second term as president. Reports say the president will unveil a sweeping federal AI strategy. There's been a recent spike in plastic piggy banks washing up on beaches along the Texas coast. And the only clue is that some have Spanish writing on them.
And it says, amor ahora, love is, and ahora, you know, I think it means now, so love is now.
Texas A&M researcher Jace Tunnell found about a dozen of the so-called sea pigs this week near Corpus Christi. He posted about it on social media and said the response was shocking. Similar piggy banks are being found across the Gulf Coast, and some coming from Cuba's Bay of Pigs. But Tunnell said that they are also a tradition in Mexico, throwing piggy banks in the water. Billy Joel wants fans to know that he's feeling all right.
While appearing on Bill Maher's Club Random podcast, the piano man gave a health update after being diagnosed with a brain disorder known as normal pressure hydrocephalus. Joel told Maher he feels fine, adding his balance sucks. It's like being a boat. The 76-year-old was forced to cancel several concerts that he had lined up for 2025 through 2026. The condition leads to problems with hearing, vision, and balance. I'm Mark Mayfield.
WBSM Sports.
The Phillies beat the Red Sox 4-1 last night in Philadelphia. Both teams back at it tonight at 7:05. Veteran players for the Patriots reported to training camp yesterday. The first practice scheduled for this morning in Foxborough. New England opens the preseason on August 8th when it hosts the Washington Commanders.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Starting off cool again for the South Coast as we wake up on this Wednesday morning. Sweatshirt weather is what I'm calling it, as we are in the upper 50s to start. But if you don't want sweatshirt weather, just wait a couple hours. We're going to warm up pretty quickly, and temperatures will be a little closer to average this afternoon. Most of us right along the water are going to be in the mid and upper 70s and the low 80s as you head inland. Plenty of sunshine, a couple clouds to make the sky interesting, and that's about it. A beautiful day here across southern New England. Now, as we head into tonight, it's going to be a little less cool, and then the heat starts to build as we get into the later half of the week. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Welcome back in. We are playing Ozzy this morning and in honor of his passing. And if you want to call in with any Ozzy memories, you can. 508-996-0500. We are getting some app chat messages regarding the fire. If you missed it at the beginning of the hour, we had a caller call in that says, you know, I don't need the answers. It's just it's a horrible tragedy. I don't need the answers. We don't need to have anybody to blame. Let's just, you know, move on from it. And Not Bad and Oak Bluff says, good morning, Tim. I can't understand the pushback from the call who didn't caller who didn't understand the need to investigate the fire. In essence, fire investigations are a critical component of a comprehensive fire safety system. They move beyond simply extinguishing the flames to understanding why the fire occurred, which is essential for preventing future tragedies, upholding justice, and continually improving fire safety for everyone. And on the other side of that, SDW says, you're making too much of it all. Let the professionals figure it out. My opinion is you're breaking the rules by smoking. That's the person that's at fault. Well, yeah, I mean, I said I'm only speculating. I said I'm just asking the question, but I'm asking the questions of what questions are being asked in this investigation. That if you're not answering a question about whether or not there's going to be criminal charges, that makes me think that there may be criminal charges. I don't think that's an unreasonable assumption. If you thought that there weren't going to be, if you thought there was no chance of that, you would come over to the microphone and say, no, we don't anticipate any charges at all. So my job here is to analyze what goes on in the news and try to give you my analysis on it. And that's my analysis. That's what I think about it. That's what I feel. Maybe you feel differently. 508-996-0500. Also, you heard mentioned earlier this morning, I brought up the fact that there was a person that was shot at Riverside Park last night. And we are waiting for more information from the New Bedford Police Department regarding that. Actually, just got an email from the New Bedford Police a couple of moments ago. So I'll just read it to you from what they sent in. Just after 11 p.m. Tuesday night, units responded to Coffin Avenue for a report of a shooting. The victim was located and transported to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. No arrests have been made at this time, and the incident remains under investigation. Our preliminary investigation has revealed no indications of an additional public safety risk in the area. But anyone with information is encouraged to call 508-99-CRIME. And then it says, please follow us on X for any additional updates. That's interesting. That's new. So that's the official word from the police on what happened last night. Now, also, Scott Pemberton, who is running for Ward 2 counselor, put out a statement on the Committee to Elect Scott Pemberton Facebook page. It says, last night's shooting at Riverside Park involving a 17-year-old minor is another tragic reminder of the violence that has steadily risen throughout Ward 2 over the past year and a half. As a community leader, neighbor, and lifelong resident of this city, I am heartbroken and deeply concerned. Our families deserve better. Our city deserves better. He says, Riverside Park should be a safe haven, a place known for kids playing, for families to gather, and for our community to grow stronger, not a place where lives are put at risk. We cannot ignore this trend any longer. Over the past 18 months, we have seen unacceptable uptick in shootings, assaults, and violent incidents across our neighborhoods. This is no longer just a public safety issue. This is a blatant failure of leadership. And then he goes on to talk about, you know, if he's elected, he will, the things he'll do to combat this. Let's take a call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. I just want to talk about one thing.
Sure.
Like the Gabriel House, any healthcare facility or nursing home or assisted living like that, I think from now on they ought to try to start changing and put seniors that come in that are unable to walk, those that can barely walk, and try to get them on a low floor. My mother, where I live, Melville Towers, it's a high-rise apartment building. It's not a healthcare facility, but we do have a lot of seniors here, and I have noticed that most of them who can't even hardly move are up on the higher floors. My mother was here for 22 years on the ninth floor. Had there been a fire, I do have a stairwell door that's only 10 feet away from me. I could have run there, and I know I could get to the ninth floor to try to help my mother. But if it's a fire, I'm going to try to want to run. So I'm probably going to be choking on smoke, and it's going to kill me if I have to run up to the ninth floor, and I'm on the third floor. So it's quite a stretch. So if they want to make changes now, it's kind of difficult because people have already been moving in and out for years. Mm-hmm. If you want to start now, somebody that's just got called them and said, oh, it's your turn, you can come, we got a place for you, and it happens to be on the 10th floor, you're going to, if you're homeless or you're struggling and you need it, so you accept it. It's kind of hard to play, rearrange musical chairs here with the apartments. But, and also I have a suggestion that when they build any new facilities, make sure there's no more than two floors. You can make it longer on the, you know, longer than higher. Like, you know, just two floors. And that way you have a better chance of being saved if you can't walk.
Yeah, unfortunately, the longer takes up more space. And here in New Bedford, they don't have the land for that.
Well, we could have a little less other things around. I don't want to get into really the Zeitarian. The thing is this. Everybody says, yeah, well, we own it. The city has to pay, blah, blah, blah. Okay, the people, they should have voted. The people that wanted it should have voted for it, and they were the ones that should put the bills for repairs. Why make somebody like me who doesn't go over there, why should I have to pay any taxes to fix it?
Well, the outside of the ARPA fund, the $5 million in ARPA money that was given, this money that they're talking about from the budget, that's for operational. That's not for the renovations.
But still, no matter what the problem is, somebody who never voted or even wanted it, look what happened to the Orpheum. It's falling down. We're never fixing that. That would take, what, $10, $20 million? I don't even know.
Well, but that's also privately owned, and the owner doesn't want to sell it.
I knew that you were going to straighten me out on that.
Well, I'm just, but that's just the facts of it.
No, I know that. No, you're not being mean. I understand that. But knowing the way I feel, because I experienced everything I had to go through, going up to the ninth floor 10 or 20 times a day, and if there was a fire on top of it, I absolutely would not make it. And besides, how would the firemen ever get people off of a higher floor like that? You're not going to carry an elderly person who can't stand up down a ladder, 9 floors, 10 floors. We have 11 floors here. 11 floors. So you should think that maybe they could start trying to change it a little here and there. So the newcomers that are coming in, if there's empty floors on the lower floors, then put them in there. I know a girl that's only been living here 5 years. She's only 61 years old. She's been here 5 years, and in 5 years' time, she requested a different spot, and they moved her to three different apartments already. That's not fair. That is hardly right. Because when my mother was still alive, I asked them more than once, could I move my mother down? This is wearing me out. And sometimes the elevators don't work, and I gotta go crazy. She said, no, we're not going to do that. So they would never do it for my mother, who was 22 years here. But this girl that was only here 5 years got changed three times. You know, it's whose ass you kiss. That's the way it goes.
All right. Well, I gotta hold you there because I got to take a break.
Have a good day.
You as well. All right. Sorry. I do have to take that break. But before I do, I'm just going to tell you because I think a lot of folks are, again, middle of the month. I don't know if that's when you get your bill from Eversource, but that's when I get mine. I open mine up. And I did that whole thing where I open it up and I kind of look at it and I'm like slowly pulling it out. Okay, I'm being overly dramatic about it. I get an email, and that email says the amount right in the email. I'm being over dramatic about it, but I was nervous about opening it up and looking and seeing, and it was high. So I can only imagine what it's like for people who have a larger house and a family that's, you know, trying to run it at all different temperatures, and this one has AC on and this one has two fans on, and I can only imagine what you're dealing with. And why don't you stop dealing with all of that by reaching out to Isaacson Solar? Because they can tell you how going solar can not only help save you money, but eventually get you to the point where the power company is paying you. How does it all work? Ask them. Don't ask me. I don't know all about it. They're the experts. They're the ones that know. IsaacsonSolar.com. If you go to that website, ISAKSEN, IsaacsonSolar.com, set the appointment. They'll come out, talk to you, answer all your questions, and tell you whether or not you are a good fit for solar. It's worth just having the information, right? It's not going to cost you anything just to find out. So reach out to them, IsaacsonSolar.com, and we'll be back in just a few moments. And welcome back in, 508-996-0500. We've only got a few moments remaining, and then we're going to give way to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now. I mentioned earlier how it was my friend Tina and my friend John. The two of them helped me, you know, kind of get back into Ozzy in the 90s when the No More Tears album came out, because we were all hanging out together in the same classroom talking about it. And Tina is also a huge fan of The Butcher Shop. She gets all of her meat there. Every week, that's all she eats is meat that she gets at The Butcher Shop. And she raves about it. Goes all the way from Wareham to get it every week. And you could be there too. 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. Stop by and see why the Butcher Shop is worth the drive from anywhere on the South Coast. It's a real old school neighborhood market. They're going to cut the meat exactly the way you want it, and they're going to make it be the perfect meal for you every single time. And if you don't have time to cook it, that's all right. They got pre-made stuff there for you to eat every day. Check out the Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. Let's take a call here before I got to take my final break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi. Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
So my cat I had was the first black cat I ever had. He actually passed away when I lived in Wareham. His name was Black Sabbath. I had to call him Sabbath.
Nice.
And that's
Nice.
Yeah, that's the only memory that, you know, the association to Ozzy Osbourne. But I got a tear in my eye when I heard he passed away.
I mean,
really like him.
At least he got to have that show a couple of weeks ago, you know, that one final performance.
Yes.
and many, all he, it, like, between verses of songs, he was just profusely thanking the audience. I mean, he got to give them the love that they always showed him over the years.
Yes. You know, I saw parts of that, and I don't know, when I seen him, I said, oh, he's going to be around still a little longer. I mean, I know he had the Parkinson's, but I had no idea, like, I don't know, that just, like, threw me.
I think it was getting far worse than anybody realized.
And I love the show, The Osbournes. That really opened my eye up to him and stuff. That was a fun show. And I have to tell you, speaking of black, yesterday, so I'm on my way to go to Plymouth, so I take my trash to the dumpster, and there is this hugest, biggest black bird, and it was so god ugly, like only a mother could love that face. And I was thinking, where the hell did you come from? I've had a black hawk land on my balcony before. This was not a black hawk. It looked like a vulture.
Might have been a turkey buzzard.
Oh, maybe. It was disgusting. He was big black, and he was not afraid of me. And I thought maybe he escaped from the zoo. I was thinking, did you come from the zoo? He was not afraid of me. He just stood at the edge of that dumpster, and he was picking at an old piece of furniture. I put a footstool in there, and I said, why are you pulling at that material? And he was just standing out. I was like, Tim, I was dumbfounded. I was like, where did you escape from? He just had he could care less about me. And I just threw my trash in. And I just, you know, kind of scared that he might nip at my hand, but he didn't. He just sat there, and I said, well, you have a good day.
No, good thing I didn't pick you up and fly off with you.
He looked big enough. He probably could. But so that's all. And I just feel bad about elderly people being the more less mobile, always up on the high floor. It's the same way in nursing homes. They do that because they figure that the regular people, if they were on the top, people who are, you know, quite capable of getting out on their own, they would get stuck behind them in the walkways, you know, the stairwell,
wow.
If the elevator shut down, and therefore they would end up dying. So this is their reason of thinking. It's crappy. I can't say the real word.
Maybe it's time for a change.
It is. And also, they should put these alarm systems. They have them in a lot of the Marriott hotels, where if you light up a cigarette and there's smoke, there's this on the switchboard, a light goes on, mm-hmm. and you know exactly the room. I think they should do that, because never, ever should somebody be allowed to smoke with oxygen, period.
Absolutely. I got to hold you there, because I got to get this final break in. You have a great day.
You too. Bye.
All right. We'll be right back to wrap things up.